It's bigger on the inside.
Is it?
I've noticed.
Podcast. Yes, this is an actually Doctor Who podcast because amazingly I like something else than Nintendo. Who'd have thought? I'm joined with Ringo.
Hello. G'day.
Because we both share quite a passion.
A passion. For this show. A strong passion, yeah.
And I thought, yeah. It's like he's been pestering me for months to do it, and I thought
it was your idea, and I just reminded you.
I agree, it was my idea, but along with many of my ideas, they don't ever come to pass. So, hey, this is a nice change.
You're welcome.
Yeah, how have you been?
I've been great. I've been good, doing absolutely nothing these past 2 weeks, so that's been good. How are you?
I'm tired. That's basically it. It's like, I came back from uni, like, probably just over an hour ago. And I'm just...
So podcast's the right thing to do, just talking non-stop for an hour.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, if something's going to keep me awake, it's definitely going to be Doctor Who.
Yes, that's a great thing to say.
Yes. So, with this podcast, we thought we'd talk about some of the stuff that's been announced the past couple of months.
Nothing to do with Season 9, nothing to do with the show itself, just all the new stuff.
Yeah, I think we could do that in another.
Yeah. That's cool.
Podcast. This is just going to really be new centered. So, sorry if you're expecting any of the Season 9 reviews. You can stop now. Actually, don't stop now.
No, please don't. You're probably our only viewer.
We've got a lot to talk about, so I reckon it's worth listening.
I agree.
All right, let's get into this. So, we heard big news at the end of, I think it was January, that Stephen Moffat, the writer and executive producer of Doctor Who, and now an OBE recipient.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was like, good on him. He deserves it. He writes
good shit, yeah.
I mean, I watched Coupling.
To go around to that, yeah.
It is such a good show about just everyday people and their relationships. It's so funny.
That's surprising to hear he wrote a show about that, to be honest, with all his other shows that are, you know, different. But anyway.
Jekyll is also another fantastic thing. I thoroughly recommend watching that. Then, of course, he does Sherlock.
Yes.
And
I'm a big fan of that one as well. Anyway.
Yes. So, yeah, as I was saying, he's leaving the show.
I know.
Did that really come as a surprise to you?
Do you want me to answer first, or do you want... Are you gonna...
Go ahead, man.
Oh, well, honestly, yes and no. I feel like he needed to leave, and I'm being nice when I say this. He really needed to leave, but... I mean... I don't know. I don't really know what to say for this one, because he's been on there really... since the start, because he's been doing episodes for RTD.
He's been there since series one.
And I feel like, me being a massive Sherlock fan, I'm happy that he's leaving, because he can focus on that other big show that people care about, apart from Doctor Who, which is...
Wow,
but
rude.
Doctor Who's better. Doctor Who's way better, 10 times better, but Sherlock has the biggest goddamn cliffhangers I've ever seen in the show. Ever. And I'm saying that because I binge-watched Doctor Who, so I saw no cliffhangers for that one. I binge-watched all of it up until season 8. But with Moffat, I feel like he's doing good thing because he's really been holding on to Doctor Who like it's his baby, and I feel like he needs to let it go.
Well, it is his baby.
It is. But I feel like RTD let go. I feel like, you know, it's Moffat's time. He's been holding on for a while.
Well, you remember the end of time. I mean, that was a big...
That was emotional, man.
It was emotional, but I feel like he was kind of like saying, oh, this is the end of the show. Because, like, everything was ending. I was just like... That felt kind of wrong.
Here's all the good stuff that I brought to the show, and we're going to say goodbye to it. So Moffat cannot say anything about it.
But, I mean, the reason why I really didn't like that, it was just... The show was obviously going to continue with RTD. It's been going on for 50 years. Mm. It's obviously going to continue after him. The show... It was obviously going to stay around after him, and it just felt like... Oh, I was the main man.
It did.
I mean, he did revive the show.
He did do an amazing thing, but I honestly think someone else would have done it. Whether that be, I don't know, anybody else, but I think someone else would have done it.
Well, that's the thing. Edgar Wright, you know the love.
Oh, he is amazing director, I have to say.
He was originally asked to write Rose before Russell T was.
He would have done a better job. I'm sorry. Anyway, continue. I am biased, but he's an amazing director. Anyway.
I love Edgar Wright's stuff, so it's not biased. I mean, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, World's End,
three great movies.
Scott Pilgrim, such an underrated movie.
Oh,
people
I love
need
that
to
movie.
See that movie.
It's a good watch. Watch it now.
It's
so good.
It's one of the best comic/video game movies, because that's really the only way you can describe it. It's a comic/video game movie.
It's really original, and I loved it for that. Anyway, we're talking about Moffat here, aren't we?
It's like, hey. It's like, calm down.
What do you think? Were you surprised with his announcement?
Not particularly. I mean, he kind of announced that he wanted to leave at the end of Series 9. He wanted to make that his send-off. And I don't blame him, considering he'd have done the show for about 6 years. 7 years, actually. 2010,
yeah,
2016.
He did a shit ton of episodes, excuse my French, but a lot. I mean, he's just taken it, and he's done good things with it, but I feel like he's overstayed his welcome, and that's just my opinion.
He's I reckon he's lifted the show's popularity.
Definitely.
But, yeah, as I said, it's not really a surprise. It was going to happen eventually, but I feel like if Moffat builds on what he did in Series 9, I reckon we are in for one hell of a show next year.
Yes, because...
we are going to get to that, by the way.
We are,
next
so
year.
I'm not going to mention it, but all I'm going to say is this Doctor Who gap year and the one bonus episode is keeping me really excited for what Moffat's going to do as a send-off, because I know it's going to be big, and I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, well, and I'll go to this next point. Yeah, along with the report of Stephen Moffat leaving, we found out that 2016 will only have a Christmas special.
Oh, why?
So, how are you in regards to waiting?
Waiting is, I mean, I'm going to mention this again, but waiting for me isn't unusual. Moffat has done it to me already with Sherlock.
Sherlock's...
But now it's Doctor Who as well. It's like, you can't do it to both shows, man. Why are you doing this to me? But if next season 10, if it's like absolutely worth the wait, then I will not care. Because I'm just... Having this whole gap year, I feel like we'll hopefully do the show good, the season good. And if we don't find out who the companion is, in the one episode we get this year, I'm going to flip the table. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know if we'll find out at the end of this year, but I think...
We have to, man. We've been waiting too long.
We may actually get, like, an announcement as to who it is, but I don't think we'll ever actually see an appearance of them in the Christmas special. It feels way too... I mean, if they're going to build it to be this brand new companion going to span two eras, I feel like you got to start with the whole season. You can't... Like the whole problem with Clara in Series 7 was that she had only 8 episodes to work with because Aimee McRory left in the 5th episode of Series 7. And that was such a pain, because it was just like, she didn't have, I don't think she had enough time to develop.
That led me to a question for you. Do you think the companion will be someone we've seen before? Okay.
I'm fairly certain it won't be.
I don't think so either, but I'm just judging based on other things, such as Donna, Clara, and I feel like some of the doctors as well, Clara, with Capaldi and stuff like that. And also, I think it was the fourth or the... No, there was a sixth doctor who I think was it, who played someone else previously, but I might be wrong about that.
Yes, he did.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, he did. He was in the fifth Doctor episode. I'm not going to... I think it was Ark of Infinity. I'm not going to...
I have no idea. But continue. That.
People are going to check it, and people are just going to say, oh, it was this episode, and I'm like, I don't care.
We don't care. We're trying to talk about stuff here. Just let us do our thing.
But no, I think if Moffat really wants to... I think he really has to differ from Clara.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was what was good about Clara, is that she was so different to Amy. Like, in terms of...
Yeah, I mean, that hair colour was just...
The relationship.
Oh, wait, what?
The relationship between Amy and the Doctor, and Clara and the Doctor was much, much different.
It was... Because, you know, I feel like with Moffat having two very different companions, that's why I sort of agree with you, with thinking that this companion has got to be someone we haven't seen, someone who has hopefully some different relationship stuff. I don't know how to explain it, but I hope she's different, or he, or it.
I'd say they'd stick to the female.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't see them straying away from...
No way.
The norm.
Now the important question: what hair color do you think she'll have? This is the important one.
Ooh, good question. Brunette. I'm gonna say she's a brunette. I don't think she'll be blonde.
I don't think we should.
And I don't think she'll be blonde ginger. Hair. We've already had we've had two ginger companions.
Two gingers, one blonde. Wait, one blonde? Yeah, one blonde. Brunette sounds good.
Rose.
Or maybe like very dark brown.
I think brunette's the safe choice.
It is. Anyway, enough of the...
I can't believe we're actually talking about companions' hair colours. Well, there you go.
My fault.
There's a first.
Anyway, did you want to continue with what you were going to say, if you remember?
I think... The other problem that I have with this is that the BBC, like, how they chose to... To justify their reasoning for why there's only one episode in 2016 and the rest in 2017 was that they basically put the blame on the Euros and the Olympics.
I don't know what to say, man.
I think it was a load of shit. I just think it's just an excuse to make them look less bad for.
I care about Doctor Who ratings, but I feel like this sounds like the massive load of crap. I really do. I mean, I know how much Capaldi himself cares about the ratings, because he's gone on about that and how, you know, it dropped massively in season 9, but
yeah.
I don't know what to say about this. It sounds like the BBC's done something and they've gone, well, we need to make it sound like we've done this for a reason, and we're not, you know, we're trying to make ourselves sound like, you know, we've done the right thing and we're going to sound nice about it. But I don't think it's reasonable. I don't feel satisfied with this, you know, reason for pushing back one of the greatest show of all time. And that's a bold statement, and I'm standing by it. What do you think about that?
That is a very bold statement. I will definitely agree with that.
There we go. Good.
It's like, I think Doctor Who is just, the legacy it has, I think it's unrivaled. I mean, you have shows like Breaking Bad and Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, but
they don't have the legacy that Doctor Who has.
Yeah, like, exactly.
This show has history. Like,
I don't think they'll be relevant in 10 years.
No
way. I just
way.
Don't. I think there'll be another show that will
take it by storm.
Audiences.
While Doctor Who will still always be there, and it'll have these like shows like come in and out, but Doctor Who will always be circling. Is that this show is a legacy, and I'm so glad to.
It's got the longevity of a soap opera.
But it's not
but
a,
it actually
it's
better.
Actually good. It's actually a good show.
Exactly.
No offense to
difference.
Soap operas, but I don't watch any of them. I don't intend to ever watch any of them.
Because it's the same crap.
Over and over again.
Yeah, I think what makes Doctor Who so different is the fact that you can go anywhere and do anything, whereas soap operas tend to be confined into a certain thing, and you have, and they have to kind of stick to that.
Different writers and different directors doing different things with the show every episode. I feel like that just brings a good sense to it. Anyway,
well, yeah, exactly. Different takes on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good.
But, well, okay. So therefore, no Doctor Who. People are going to look for other alternatives. I mean, there's...
But there is an alternative, isn't there, Nick?
I know there is. It's like, Big Finish! People love Big Finish, though. I will give them credit. Big Finish is a great thing. I've listened to a couple of them in the past. I mean, particularly during long waits of Doctor Who, it's definitely a nice way to bridge between series.
I'm just saying, speaking of that stuff, I fangirled out when I heard David Tennant and Catherine Tate in that audiobook trailer. I was like, thank you so much. Season 4 was one of my favourite things in the whole wide world, and now you're giving me that again. It's amazing. And I just lost it. It was a great...
I agree with you up until Journey's End.
Yeah, well, just forget that existed and just look at everything else, okay? Look at the Partners in Crime. I agree with everything. Made me so happy. That one scene, I was like, yes, these two are...
The thing about Donna was that they changed her... No, they didn't really change her personality, but they made her more likable. And I think that was probably the best, wisest decision.
She doesn't want to have sex with him. People actually want to get to know her now. She's like, I want you to be my mate. It's like, oh, well, Donna, hello, you're actually cool now. And she's hilarious. She is amazingly funny. She's great. Definitely...
But I think when you have a comedian like Catherine Tate, you're obviously going to get the comedy that comes with that.
And the emotion. I'm stating this here.
I didn't think she could play serious.
I cried several times in season 4. And I'm happy enough to say that. When we saw her leave and how we saw her leave, I lost it. I really did. And every time I see Wilfred, I feel bad.
I cringe whenever that when the doctor not brainwashes her, but erases all the memories. I cringe because I'm just like,
it's a really...
Surely there was a better alternative that didn't...
It is a better alternative, but it was just so emotional. No matter how good or bad the choice was, I just got really heartbroken by it.
I have to kind of agree with this. It's like kind of like mind rape. She was going, no...
What?
No,
you better justify yourself.
Hear me out. Okay, so when he was like, oh, Donna, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, please don't do this. Please don't do this. You get how it can kind of be deemed as, like, it was definitely done without her consent.
Yes.
She knew what was going to happen because she had the doctor's mentality, but she still didn't want...
They went to Pompeii, dude. They went to Pompeii. Like, if I was... I mean, it's... If I was her, I'd go... I'm like, dude, this is the best moment of my life, and you're taking it away from me. But obviously, she had to understand what the consequences were, but...
But she didn't want it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
That's what I mean by mind rape. I don't mean, oh, David Tennant's a rapist. No.
Because it's not consensual.
Yeah, exactly. she didn't agree to it at any point in time, and he did it anyway. I wasn't too bad on the first watching, but after watching it a couple of times, you're like, yeah, this is... That you can't do that. That's not nice.
Anyway, should we move on?
Yes, sorry. I like... Being sidetracked is good sometimes.
It is, because we get to talk... Because we get to show our true passion through that.
Yes, we do. As I was saying, Big Finish, we got way off distracted. But the other... the other important thing coming this year, we're getting Class, which is...
What do you think about that, spin-off. Nick? What do you think about it?
I'm very...
Because I have a lot to say, but I'm going to let you talk first.
I like the setting, Cold Hill School.
It's the first thing we saw, Doctor Who.
Yes, that's true, we did. We saw... And I like the fact that... I want to see Ian Chesterton. I want to see him actually make an appearance. Because he's the principal there. He needs to make an appearance.
Agreed.
Please. I like the setting of it. It's a Cold Hill School. I mean, it's been established.
The cast. What do you... Now, we saw the cast recently in a 360-degree trailer, which I thought was, a nice polish.
I didn't... I didn't actually see the trailer, like the through the, I was aware of it, but I didn't actually.
Yeah, well, I saw that.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to judge. I mean, they're all very new
people.
So you can't really judge. But the problem with Doctor Who is that child actors. I'm saying child loosely here, but child actors never really seem to work.
They are meant to be high school students, right? Like seniors, but.
But I mean, like, yeah. I really can't really judge until I see how it plays out. I mean, the Sarah Jane Adventures is probably the rare exception because the cast and that was so good. But the same time, they did have
Sarah Jane to lead her. Like she was, she was great.
Liz Sladen, she is such a great actress to lead her. Yeah.
And I'm really sad whenever I mention her name now. I don't want to say her real name anymore because it makes me really sad. Because Sarah Jane's, future. I know what happens. You know, she's happy, but,
she gets to live with K-9.
But Elizabeth Sladen, no.
But it's been 5 years. I think we have to accept that she's actually gone at some point.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, if I'm tackling class, I'm thinking of two things. I'm thinking of Torchwood and Sarah Jane. And when I think of those shows...
Well, they are the two big ones.
Yes, so and I'm thinking spin-offs can work. Do I think this show will work? I don't.
Oh, of course it can work.
It can work. I don't think it will. And the reason I'm saying is we've had Torchwood and Sarah Jane have one thing in common. We know who that character is. That character has made an iconic appearance in Doctor Who. Jack Harkness,
that's
spend every
thing.
Day with him.
He's 100% agree amazing. With you there. And the reason why I 100% agree with you there is that there is this Doctor Who...
esque vibe going on with the...
Well, not the vibe, but you definitely believe it's in that universe. Here you have a school that's made an appearance.
Well, I mean, yes, a school has the Doctor Who feeling,
and there's one teacher that's definitely going to make an appearance.
Confirmed appearance.
But I think at the same time, I'm definitely reserving judgment until I see the episode.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm a draw.
Patrick Ness is such a good
He's amazing.
Writer.
Dude, I'm going to draw 10,000 conclusions, but either way, I'm still going to see it, without a doubt. I'm still going to watch it.
I really hope ABC actually airs it here, because
if they don't, then I'm going to send them a kind email.
So annoyed.
I'm going to be like, excuse me?
Oh, yeah.
We are humans too,
kind in quotation marks.
There's no Doctor Who. There's one episode, so you give us this, and you give us this now, okay? Thank you.
Well, the thing with this show is that there's 8 episodes, so...
Right.
So it's slightly less than the standard Doctor Who season. I think the reason for it is that, well, if it doesn't really work out, at least it's only 8 episodes.
Yeah.
But I think the one actor I really, really like, it's Catherine Kelly. And I've seen her as, I think it was Mrs. Selfridge. She's so good.
That is good to hear.
I love that casting, and I can't
Now,
wait
my
to
question
see.
Is, would... There are arguments about this casting. Do you see them as high school students? If you looked at them first glance, is that what you would interpret them as? Because, yes, they're senior, but I don't know.
I'd say high school, college. I could see them as high school, college.
Yeah. Maybe they...
I could probably see them as,
Maybe they have to repeat a year, maybe? They
bordering year 11, year 12.
Yeah,
I could probably see them as. I can't see them... I just hope... I mean, I like the diversity in the cast.
Oh, of course.
I think at the end of the day, it's really going to come down to not just the acting, but I think the story really has to be really solid.
Yeah,
and I think, and actually, I'm actually quite intrigued because they actually with this they actually did a bit of a synopsis, and I'm going to read it out to you.
Okay,
right?
It says,
time has looked to your faces now, and time never forgets. Already, that sounds awesome.
This sounds like Doctor Who already. I love it.
Yeah, it gets better.
Okay.
What if your planet was massacred and you were the sole survivor? What if a legendary figure out of space and time found you a place to hide? But what if the things that want to kill you have tracked you down? And worst of all, what if you haven't studied for your A-levels?
Wow. I just got the massive Family of Blood vibe, dude, from that. I don't know. That's all I got. That's all I got from that synopsis. So
I'm just saying, like, that is brilliant.
That's amazing. So What do you gather from that? Because I gather straight away, these people are not who we think we are. We are.
I'm intrigued to see how they're really going to tie in the alien concepts to... I'm actually intrigued to see how they're going to justify the Doctor not appearing to save the day. That I think that's the thing that's going to intrigue me.
Was the Doctor... I actually haven't seen all of Sarah Jane, because I already... I approached
the Doctor's made two appearances. Sarah
okay.
Jane.
Okay.
Yes.
Honestly, one time I wasn't that excited for it, but until you just said the synopsis, I'm interested. Because... I just got the weirdest Family of Blood vibe from that, and I love that double. So, it just reminded me of that.
If you're going to watch the Sarah Jane Adventures, I think the episode you have to watch of Sarah Jane Adventures is The Death of the Doctor, because that's Sarah Jane Smith and the Third Doctor's companion.
I have no idea, dude. I'm sorry.
Hold on. I can't think of the name. Katie Manning. Joe Grant. Those two are in the episode together. And it was so good. Because both of them...
Reunion!
Because both of them were Third Doctor companions. A lot of people don't... I think a lot of people associate Sarah Jane with the Fourth Doctor.
Oh, no, yeah. I agree.
Most people don't realise she actually was in the Third Doctor's first. Yeah. So, it was actually really interesting to see their dynamic. Like, these two companions after so long. I think they did it much better than School Reunion.
Man, School Reunion was...
It was great, but
that episode
I really
sort of gives me hope about class's setting, but that's all. I mean, it was a nice reunion, but, you know, it could have been done better. But when thinking about the location, I feel better about class, knowing how they could tie the alien factor with the school. But, yeah, I'll have to wait and see for that one.
I'm also intrigued to see if, like, Courtney is going to make an appearance, or... Danny's going to make an appearance, because I think... Well, we don't know when this is set in regards to the Doctor Who continuity. This could be set...
Was it actually mentioned, or... Yet?
No, we don't
know. Not. Okay.
So this could potentially be pre-Death in Heaven, so Danny could still be in there.
That'd be an interesting surprise, I'd say.
I think, I just don't know. It's really hard to judge
early. We are judging, but... Either way, we're still going to see it, definitely. Like, it's going to be a show that I'm on board to see.
Really redeeming factor about the show is that it's going to be directed by Ed Bazalgette, who did...
That name rings a bell.
I believe he did the Zygon two-parter from Series 9.
Ooh, really?
I could be wrong. I'm quickly checking, but I'm pretty sure that...
Let me check, hold on. What a last name, holy cow. He did the girl who... Doctor's Meditation, The Girl Who Died, and The Woman Who Lived.
Oh, okay, there you go. Edward, I was a bit off.
Bazalgette. I don't know how to pronounce that name.
I'll say Bazalgette.
Bazalgette.
Ed Baguette. How about that?
Ed Baguette?
Yeah,
yes,
why not?
He did three episodes from... And yes, he did... He is doing class. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, no, I thought he was the Zygon part of it. He's the, actually... I gotta be honest, I liked The Girl Who Died. I know a lot of people don't share that sentiment, but I think...
I didn't mind it, I thought it was pretty good.
I think it was cheesy, but it wasn't intentionally cheesy, so it worked.
Yeah.
That was the best part about that, but I think the direction that Ed... I'm not gonna say his surname, even though how funny it is.
Baguette.
Yeah, I think this is just gonna be a running joke, we're just gonna call him Ed Baguette. But, I like the direction he took in that episode, in particular in The Girl Who Died. The Woman Who Lived, I kind of can... I didn't mind it, but
I feel like the Girl Who Died just felt better than The Woman Who Lived. I feel like they sort of ruined that... Not ruined it, but I just didn't like how they approached that who is she sort of thing. But The Girl Who Died set it up really well. And I congratulate Mr. Baguette for that. Sorry, I had to continue.
It's a joke, isn't it? But yeah, so I think class is. I'm definitely going to see class. I mean,
oh, definitely.
If you like Doctor Who, you're obviously going to see at least the first episode.
We can talk. We can talk shit about it for like 6 hours straight, but we're still going to see it, nonetheless.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in with high hopes. Based
that applies
on
to a lot of like really shit movies, though. You can say like, oh, this is going to be a shit Transformers, but you're still going to see it anyway. So
Transformers,
it doesn't matter.
Don't even mention that. worst decision I made that as an example. Was seeing the fourth one.
I'm just saying that...
Oh, my God. I'm anyway, that, that's continue. An example. Yeah. Should we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, I think we're kind of still sticking with the same topic.
Yeah, we are.
As I was saying before, so... It's... The only Doctor Who series 10 is going to come out in 2017, as I have mentioned. But, amazingly, it's going to come out in spring 2017, which... I think for us, that makes us autumn. I could be wrong, but I think...
it's earlier, so, you know.
But I think, and you were mentioning before about the ratings, Doctor Who actually tends to fare better in the spring. I think if you're going to make a finale, like, I expect him to go all out. I don't mean RTD go out, but I mean, like, yeah. he's still going to, like... really bring his A game because he wants to like end on a high.
I agree.
But this is like the third shift in timetable. Like I know series 7 part 2 was in March here. Series 8 was like August. Series 9 I think was October.
I don't like it, dude. I really don't. I'm going to agree with the one guy that I trust more than anybody. Peter Capaldi himself. And I'm going to quote him right now, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
If you're going to have a family show, I think you'd have it build up a little ritual around it. And that ritual usually starts with having it on at the same time. Even I did not know what time it was on. And that that's both as well. Seasonal and time. Because the time also changed a bit, but we won't go into that. But the seasonal thing, yeah.
The time I kind of can understand, because I mean, like, a lot. Sometimes Let's see, episodes can get quite...
I think it was competing with...
quite dark.
It was competing with... Yeah, so... Doctor Who at 8 PM, opposite the X Factor and the Rugby World Cup, did damage the ratings. But we won't go into that as deep.
Oh, totally.
But
on the plus side, Australia did beat Wales, so...
Oh, yay. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I know you like that stuff, but don't bring spoil into this, okay? We're talking Doctor Who, okay? Don't bring spoil into this! You're going to contaminate me.
Alright, so let's talk about NRL from last round.
Sorry. Are you done? I'm sorry. I respect your passions, just not in this podcast, okay?
It's like, sorry, I'll make a separate NRL podcast, because that tends to be everything I do.
Good on you.
No, Nintendo, I'm not actually going to do that.
Nintendo,
Doctor
Who,
NRL.
What a...
Yeah, why not?
Range.
It's like, I'll do Lord of the Rings while I'm at it, you know?
I'll join you for just that one.
Everything
I'll join you for that one, without a doubt.
Nah, I think two podcasts.
Oh yeah,
I haven't even done a secondary podcast for Nintendo, which is the hard part is just getting people at the right place in the right time. It's just
I'd help, but I don't have enough to say compared to Doctor Who.
You don't know much about Nintendo.
How would you know that?
Ah, assumptions. Am I wrong?
You're sort of right, but I'm not going to go into that.
There you go. Anyway, so
next question.
Question, but like,
well, okay, I'm gonna be honest here. We are really sidetracking, and as much as I love it, the specific name we need to talk about and the legacy that he has brought to the show.
We're getting to him really, really quickly. Like, I think the other interesting part with the with what the BBC announced in their it's actually quite a long thing they announced it on, but they announced that he's going to be doing 14 episodes instead of the expected 13, which is the 12 episodes and the Christmas special. So, what do you think that's actually going to go towards? Because I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're going to actually do like what it was for like series 1 to 6, where you had episodes 1 to 13, just to bring it back like full circle, or. Maybe it's a standalone special to like kind of
here's
like
my question.
RTD'd with the specials.
Do you think Moffat will end his reign like RTD did? That's the one question we've got to get out of the way first. Because that
what
question
do you mean?
Like we mentioned before
mean,
how
like,
he ended
the entire series.
Yeah, like he ended it like I don't think he will because he's got, you know, Chris doing it, but will he end it sort of like, this is all that I've accomplished, and I'm just making it sound like it's the end of the show, or no. I don't think he will, and that's why I think it could be a way to bridge it. But I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's just more like this. I want this season 6 vibe and how it all linked together.
Like a really good...
Yeah, like a really good...
The problem the past couple of seasons is that there hasn't been a really strong arc.
And season 6 arc I fell in love with straight away. Good.
Oh, season, I think series 5 was amazing. I reckon it's even better than Bad Wolf. And I think that's probably the second best arc. But I mean, like...
5 and 6 and Bad Wolf were great arcs. And I think that Moffat should end his reign of awesome writing with an amazing arc. And we better get Weeping Angels. We have to get Weeping Angels.
Individuals. I think he's got individual stories pat down. Like, I think he knows what to do with those.
Yeah.
And I think he really understands the whole two-parter aspect of it.
I think succeeded with a
really
well.
Strong arc. That's what I'm saying. I really want to see a strong arc.
Yes.
If he does.
Does the arcs there. Tend to make you go... Whoa, this thing at the start, this was there for a reason. You know, it all connects and it makes you feel really happy about the show, which was what season 5, 6 and Bad Wolf did to me. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm not going to talk about season 9 like really in detail, but the Hydra was such a weak arc. Such a weak arc. Like, Davros brought it up in episode 1 and then it's just like...
I'm being honest, and I hate to admit it, but when they mention Hydra, I'm like, what? I honestly forgot. For a second, I forgot what the hell that one about. And I remember that one or two mentions. I'm like, oh, right. That's meant to be a big thing. I thought that was just a... That's how weak it felt to me.
Are you a hybrid?
A what? Oh, right, that thing. Yeah, it was with Bad Wolf and with Pandorica and with, you know, the River Song mystery. I feel like we were reminded about that.
That the final episode actually was. But
yeah.
We were
reminded about that without being... directly, like, you know, this is what's happening, guys. But with series 9, I completely forgot. And I feel like that shows that how that arc was. But it was still a good season, nonetheless.
Well, I think it's a perfect segue to what we're going to talk about now. So, how much do you think Stephen Moffat has made impact-wise on Doctor Who?
All I heard was talk about Stephen Moffat for 2 hours. Okay, do you want to start, or do you want me to go for this one? Because I can go on for...
No, I'm really to listen for like 2 hours. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll try and restrict it to 2 to 17 minutes, okay? So...
Oh, yeah.
Moffat made some of the greatest episodes of Doctor Who I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm going to mention some of them. If I'm not mistaken, did he create the Weeping Angels?
Yes.
He did. Yeah.
Blink, yes.
For me, they're on the same level of iconic as, say, the Cybermen. The Daleks, maybe, but they're pretty iconic themselves. But I feel like not only did he create amazing episodes...
Think Daleks and Cybermen have more become a legacy villain in regard... They're not, scary. I mean, Dark Water, though. Dark Water, my God, that was scary.
Yeah, but what I'm trying... Yeah, well, anyway, what I was saying was he made, for me... the greatest 2 episodes of season 1, by far. My brother, actually. My younger brother.
Really? Even better than Bad Wolf Parting of the Ways?
Oh,
because I think that rivals it.
They are rivals, but I feel like with this new random guy that I've never heard of at the time, just he made something so original. And the reasoning behind it didn't feel... It felt, you know... Doctor Who-ish, and I felt right. And I think having Jack Harkness in an episode just made it 10 times better. I have a bias towards him. He's amazing.
Harkness was became a fan favorite, and not many people seem to remember this. Harkness was made by Stephen Moffat.
He was, and this is why I'm going to rant on about him. He made Harkness, who he obviously later there's a theory, which is obviously true, that he's the face of Bo. And I read up on this recently that apparently the reason. The first thing I thought was, how the hell, like, why is he just a face? And now, I think this is total bullshit, but it makes sense. The headless monks.
Yeah.
If it is the case, it just shows how well Moffat ties in everything. I feel like that is the only logical reasoning, but there are others, obviously.
But it's a fan theory, but I don't think you'll ever...
I don't think so. Also, one thing I've got to mention about Moffat that I love. when we first got introduced to Clara in the Bells of St. John, and I mean Clara, 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 and we had that mystery person in the coffee shop.
Not Oswin.
No, Clara.
Oswin, Oswald. Modern Clara. Clara.
Who doesn't know how to work a computer. Yeah. Mystery girl in the coffee shop.
Computing stuff.
When was that answered? That was answered at the end of season 8.
Wait, what was that question?
The coffee shop lady who gave...
Oh, right, yeah.
That was amazing, and I was really happy with that.
Yeah, but that wasn't that surprising, in all honesty.
I
kind of saw it coming.
But Moffat did that. Like, he actually hangs on to that stuff, and that's why I liked about him. Like, he had that, you know... And if they have to got to bring back Harkness, like, seriously, he has a reason to be in every season now. So why isn't he... Anyway, I'm ranting on. I'll just summarize now. His episodes in the early seasons were great. His introduction to lead writing, The 11th Hour, I loved. I felt like I had every reason to love Matt Smith in 60 minutes, I think that episode was. And Moffat did that amazingly well. And I feel like, hopefully, all future writers will look at him and go, this is what he did. But they don't copy him, obviously. But they look at the way he tackles an episode, and hopefully they learn from his amazing creations. And I'm done. Your turn.
Because you only wasted like 10 minutes out of the 17 that you were going to go for.
There we go. I'm improving. Do you think how much has he made an impact on Doctor Who?
I mean, I really can't comment much more than what you've already talked about. His episodes during the RTD era are basically... unrivaled. I mean,
yes.
I despise. Well, I don't despise series 2, but I really, really don't like series 2. I feel like it was such a weak series.
There were no highlights to me from that one.
I mean, you had all the two-parter episodes, and I thought they were pretty good. But I mean, like, it also had Love and Monsters and Fear Her two episodes. That we're just not going to go into.
Give the Absorber Loff his own spin-off show, guys. Please. Please.
Absorber Loff and Chloe Weber, you know.
The most unstoppable force. Anyway, continue.
But even then, he made probably the best episode of The Girl in the Fireplace, and I think...
That emotionally destroyed me.
I know, I kind of wanted... I'm not going to spoil it.
Spoil it? Are you serious? Like, people should have seen that episode by now. Season 2.
I know, it came out in 2006, and it's been 10 years, but you know what?
Holy shit.
They need to see the episode
years.
Themselves.
Wow. Yeah, if you're listening to this, you need to see it for an amazingly crafted episode.
I think why I love Moffat so much is that he really understood the time travel aspect of the show. I mean, I know he's getting slack for the whole timey-wimey cop-out thing, but...
But that's what you're meant to be doing with the show. Like,
when he did it in Blink... Like, it was done so well. Even The Girl in the Fireplace. That was time travel somewhat. I mean, it's hard.
It's
not conventional time travel, but it's still time travel.
It's a smart way of looking at it, because we keep seeing it in very similar ways. And the way that he's shown it in Blink and Girl in the Fireplace is like, wow, you know, this is pretty cool, the way he's, you know, shown it. And I like that.
So he really nailed down the whole time travel aspect of it, because Doctor Who involves both space and time, and it's literally in the whole TARDIS name of it. And I think RTD really nailed the space aspect of it, but Moffat managed to nail both. I mean, he even did it in Series 4 with Science of the Library, Forest of the Dead. We got introduced to Riversong, a character who didn't make her appearance until later on, and because her story, because she time travelled herself, we never met in the right order, because we always looked at it from the Doctor's perspective,
I think,
not River's.
I can proudly say, yeah, that River Song is a proud example of Moffat's writing capabilities and how he has shown how, like, time is a thing, and how he's, as you said, he explored time and space brilliantly, and I feel like River's story is one to be talked about forever, because it was an amazing way of showing time, and I really liked her character.
It's like, I think,
and the way it was shown.
The only non-Moffat episode that really nailed time travel is Father's Day, and that wasn't even Archer didn't write that. Was Paul Cornell, and
didn't he write Family of Blood?
He did that as well. Yeah, he's only written those two episodes. He hasn't written since.
He should.
So he's basically, he's got the best rap because he's written two of the greatest episodes of all time. But,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, but even with Father's Day, Rose is an asshole, so. So it always has its down qualities there, too.
Rose is one of those companions. You either love her or you hate her. Or you don't mind her. You know.
I think she was a dick, but she wasn't. Like, it was done intentionally.
Yeah, we need a dick in the show, okay? We got too many...
Too many nice people. We got too many nice people. We have to make a person that insults a mother and a boyfriend in the same episode. But yeah, I think also the main aspect of Moffat's legacy is the fact that he's been around since the beginning. So apart from Murray Gold, he's the only thing that's managed to stay...
Murray Gold is absolutely amazing.
There's no question Murray Gold's music's the best. But I mean, like, he's one of the only two consistent things that's happened in the past 11 years. He's been there from the beginning, and seeing him go, it's gonna feel weird. This actually is gonna tie into the next part of this.
Yes, our next topic. So continue.
I'm gonna say my opinion on this. I think it actually might hurt the show, the fact that Moffat is actually going to that Moffat's leaving, and it might alienate fans because Moffat brought Doctor Who's popularity much higher than I think people expected it to. And having a new showrunner, I don't know if you can capture that same popularity again. What do you think?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you, but all I'm going to say is that I know people who don't. I know people who left the show after RTD, and people who left the show when Capaldi started. I'm like, dude, Capaldi's amazing. I'm like, no, not because of Capaldi, because of the writing. I know hundreds of, not know them, but I've seen hundreds of comments and people saying how much they hate Moffat. And I feel like, that's a appropriate opinion, not really, but still. Moffat is going to leave some hurt behind, I feel like. I don't think people should leave the show. Stop watching the show because he's leaving. I feel like that's a stupid reason.
Chibnall's going to ruin the show for us all.
Yeah. But I feel like it is going to cause something. Because as you've said, if Murray Gold leaves, I'm going to change.org that crap. And bring him back. Anyway.
He can only do Doctor Who for the rest of his life. He can't do anything else.
No, he can do other stuff. But he can never live Doctor Who. But Moffat has created the most iconic characters, Harkness and River Song, who both, by the way, John Barrowman and
Alex Kingston.
Both have the same birthday. Coincidence? I think not.
oh, yeah. Anyway, that was definitely Stephen Moffat's plan. Oh, we've got two actors on the same birthday.
Anyway, but not only has he created iconic stories, not only has he created new ways to show things that we've seen over and over and over again, but he's brought it back in an appropriate way. And even though he didn't bring it back, he's kept it strong. And RTD is the one who brought it. And Stephen Moffat's the one who's kept it on its toes. And I feel like the next writer, we'll talk about him in a second, I know. But the next writer has got to do something good. And I don't mean copy Moffat. I mean he has to show that he can bring something to the show. And he has a lot of bricks on his shoulder.
Yeah,
that's all.
He's got a weight to carry, basically.
He's got a lot of weight. He's got a bunch of screaming guys, girls, and it's
the Doctor Who fandom is impossible to please. I think he should accept that now and just
definitely
do what he wants.
There are people who hate Moffat, people who hate Moffat, people who love RTD.
So
people who think the new Who has ruined everything.
You can't win.
All wrong, but you know. I'm joking. But everyone has their opinion.
Yeah, you can't win. So I think
over the world.
Whoever decides to take over,
which we all know by now, and we might talk about shortly.
Big shoes to fill, basically. Yeah.
Enormous shoes.
Yes. So I think we can put the teasing away now. Yeah.
Aside.
All right. Yeah. So we learnt about who was actually going to take over Stephen Moffat's role, and it is the one and only. Do you want to say? Do you want to do that?
The famous. No, you can do it. You can do
Chris
it.
Chris Chibnall.
Whoa! Oh my god, it's Chris Chibnall!
You know,
the guy behind the show with David Tennant? And he did it again, because Americans don't like British
Doctor
stuff.
Who?
No.
It was Broadchurch. Because David Tennant, Arthur Darvill, and Eve Miles, and Olivia Colman.
I've seen both.
Are you sure you're not talking about Doctor Who?
I've seen both, and honestly, there was one difference that really bugged me, and I won't talk about that show. It's a bit, there might be people who haven't watched it, but if you haven't, watch
David Tennant has a beard.
It's pretty damn enjoyable. You had to say that. Spoilers, I have no use to watching it.
And he hates Twitter.
Nickname.
He hates Twitter.
I know.
Twitter.
What the hell? If he had Twitter, I'd do that amazingly well.
I think it just gets spammed with GIFs saying,
please do it again.
Twitter.
Please do it again. That was amazing. Anyway, what do you think of this guy who thinks he can just take over the show? Was it Moffat's choice?
I'm
just curious.
I think Moffat had a say, but I think the BBC had a say as well. It's hard to tell. I think,
yeah,
Moffat probably had a big say in who the successor was. And
if they bring a murder mystery themed episode, then I'll be freaking pleased.
We are not having a murder mystery that's going to last 13 episodes. Thank you very much. I don't want that. All right.
A two-part.
Otherwise, Doctor Who will become a soap opera, and God help us all.
Oh my God! Yeah. Anyway, yeah, okay, I take that back. Continue.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at some of his Doctor Who work, I mean, he did 42, which I know people are very decisive about that episode, but I kind of like the whole trivia aspect of it, because I'm a trivia nut, and because why not? But I mean, like, it was kind of interesting to see the whole, what happens if you have 42 minutes to live, and you actually kind of saw it play out on screen.
I respect him for that number. That number has so much significance in my life.
Yes, meaning of life and everything. For that. Yeah.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is one of my favourite things.
Do you think it was a reference to Douglas Adams? Because Douglas Adams has...
It has to be.
Because Douglas Adams...
Douglas Adams is a legacy.
For people that don't know, Douglas Adams used to write a couple episodes of Doctor Who during the Fourth Doctor's era. Particularly one you might remember, City of Death. He did it under a...
Oh my God!
He did it under a different alias, but it was him. So yeah, you do have some credit in possibly saying it could be related.
Yep.
Getting carried away here. Getting carried away. Just calm down.
Yeah, we are massively. I didn't mind the Silurian double. I thought it tackled something I gotta admit, it wasn't executed the way I hoped
it
would.
It was probably one of the weaker episodes of Series 5, but that's not saying it's bad, because Series 5 is fantastic, but
Series 5 had a lot of high things.
It also had Victory of the Daleks, we can't forget that, though.
Let's just go back in time for a second, because I wouldn't know, only you would know, maybe, unless you don't, but I presume you do. When Moffat, when R2D's era ended...
Yes.
Actually, no, that's a bad example. Did you... watch the show when it came out? Season 1 Rose. Did you watch the time it came out?
No. My first episode...
Okay. I was going to... because
yeah, I kind of was similar to you, except I didn't start in Series 8. My first episode was Asylum of the Daleks, which I'm going to put it out there right now. Don't start with that episode. Not as bad. It's not as bad. You just don't understand anything that goes on.
I started with Day of the Doctor. I
think that's
Doctor.
Even worse, because that's a...
6 months.
That's a fan service episode. So I think that's like...
6 months before I started watching the show on Netflix, that was what I went to. And because I was watching TV the night it was out. I think it was a replay, I'm not sure when it actually came out. And I was sitting there going, what in God's name is going on? But it was interesting, it was entertaining, but I had no idea what was going on.
Now
Rob, RTD's, how, like, did we think he would take the show? Not with Moffat, because we know Moffat did amazing stuff before he was lead writer. But I was trying to get at to see if people had that similar worry with RTD, but maybe not.
Well, I think the whole difference between Moffat and Chibnall is that Moffat had 4 outstanding episodes, so it kind of felt like a no-brainer as to who would take over.
Yeah.
Whereas Chibnall, as I'm getting along with this, they're okay episodes, but they're not great episodes. They're not like, wow, I could understand why they chose this guy to take over. I mean,
and I'm worried, but I'm
we talked about 42, we talked about the Silurian Departure, we talked about the dinosaurs on a spaceship, Actually, I loved John that episode. In all honesty, I loved that episode.
That was great.
Power of Three, I thought was...
It was great seeing Lestrade.
The ending was rushed as shit, but it was fine.
But it was... I felt like it was... Yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
There was one other I'm pretty sure I'm missing. Am I missing one? I don't know. Could be. I think... No, I don't know. Point is, they're not bad episodes, but they're not okay. They're okay episodes. They're not amazing episodes like Moffat had and R2-D2. And I feel like I would have picked Toby Whithouse. For sure, I would have picked Whithouse over Chibnall any day. People were saying Gatiss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, really? Have you seen the episodes that he's written?
Guys, are you serious? Please, stop. He had a lot of hype for Sleep No More, and he's like, this... I am bringing you part two of this episode.
But that's the problem. That's the problem with Sleep No More, was that it ended, and it was like, what? you were just scratching your head like, you seriously gonna end it there? Like, I feel like half the episode was lost. That's what it felt like. But my point is that the same with Gatiss, is that, I'm glad they chose Chibnall over Gatiss. And I don't think Gatiss would go for it anyway. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how much Gatiss has contributed into Sherlock, but if he has done a lot in he's done great in that, but he hasn't shown a lot of good things with Doctor Who, and I'm happy they chose him. Chibnall,
I mean. Yeah, see, I think Chibnall's actually Chibnall's strongest work is probably Torchwood. I mean, in comparison to Doctor Who, like, a lot of his Torchwood stuff's much better. Except for Cyberwoman, because
Maybe there is a glimmer of hope.
It's a funny episode, Cyberwoman. I think you should watch that one. Just for shits and giggles.
I probably, I'll get around to it.
Yeah, I still would have picked Toby Whithouse. I mean, Whithouse brought back Sarah Jane in School Reunion. He, did the God Complex, which I think is probably one of the best episodes of
Mass that was era. Brilliant.
Even A Town Called Mercy.
I wonder why he didn't.
Even A Town Called Mercy, I think, was a really strong episode that Whithouse did. I'm probably missing another one, but I don't care. I don't care.
You continue.
But, yeah, I think Whithouse has a much stronger lineup than Chibnall does, so it kind of made more sense to go with Whithouse over Chibnall. In saying that...
Vampires of Venice?
Okay.
Did you imagine that one?
That's the other one I was trying to think of, but I couldn't think of. That was a decent episode. I would rather watch Vampires of Venice over the Slightly Ruined Two-Parter any day of the week.
Also, the Under Lake.
How did I forget that? That was probably one of the best Space Under Siege stories in the new series.
Why isn't he doing it?
This is my reason why. I think we touched upon this a bit before. It was that there is so much pressure put on a showrunner. I mean, he's done showrunning before with Being Human, but
yeah,
I think he sees the Doctor Who fandom, and it's just, you can't please anyone, and I think he sees the toll that it's had on Moffat, and I think he's seen it on RTD.
Yep.
And I think that's what made him not decide to go for it. And I think that was also the reason as to why Moffat didn't leave the end of Series 9, is because no one wanted to do it. I mean, not only because it's a ridiculous big shoes to fill, but because you can't please the fandom, and you're going to get hate, no matter what you do.
Moffat got hate, RTD got hate. I'm not saying Chibnall's going to get hate, but
Chibnall's got guts.
Oh, hell yeah.
he's brave.
People are going to love him, and people are going to hate him. I just hope that I love him. That's all I really hope he tackles the show well. I really do. Cause it's a big burden, and I know that he won't be doing it at all, but, you know, I hope he does.
So I don't think Chibnall's the right candidate to succeed, but...
He is the one that they've chosen. We can't change that.
I will look
that.
Forward to see what he does. I hope he does something new. I want to see him do something different, but I want to see him write great stories. That's my main aim. If he can write great...
It's that Doctor Who spark, but it's new.
If he can do great stories... I mean, it doesn't have to be amazingly like Moffat, but if he can do great stories and great arcs... Like RTD did. I don't care if it goes back to like the RTD era of stories somewhat. I mean, I don't mind that. As long as they could. That's my concern, is that He's always been okay, but they've not been, like, really good. Like, at least RTD has had episodes like Midnight, for example. I mean, he's had shit ones like Love and Monsters, but he's had Midnight. And that terrified me. It was so good, Midnight. And, yeah, I think we won't really know until he becomes showrunner. But I hope we do see glimpses of what he can do in Series 10, because I expect him to be in Series 10. I mean, who wouldn't expect him to be in Series 10?
I mean, touching on one quick thing, though, I'm not going to go off topic, but Midnight, for an episode that was made simultaneously with the other one, that
Turn
one,
Left.
Turn Left.
See, that was also RTD. And that was a fantastic episode as well.
They were both great. They were both good, and they were filmed simultaneously. Midnight was
one
like...
One was the Dr. Light, and one was the Companion Light.
Oh my god.
And they were both fantastic episodes, and that's what I want to see Chibnall do.
I really want to see the unknown entity Midnight.
No, you don't want to see that, because that'll ruin...
We want to, Carl. I know, it'll ruin everything.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it'd be great, but I mean, at the same time, you don't want...
He's done it
half
well.
The great part of that episode
giving you
was
that,
mystery.
You want to know what happens.
Yeah, half of
yeah.
it.
And Turn Left was a... It gave... You know, I thought it was good. I thought it was sweet. Because it's like, Donna, you're not useless. Come on, you did something. You made a difference. Stop criticizing
Turn Left,
yourself.
What was great about that Jesus episode, Christ. It was a big what-if episode. But they did it in a way that didn't come off as too meta. I mean, it was a bit meta, because they mentioned a bunch of episodes. But
but
wasn't...
It didn't feel like it was a fan thing. It felt like it was a professional way of looking at a what-if.
And they did justify that. They did it well with the whole trickster thing. Which had been established in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yep.
So... It does make a bit of sense to watch that episode, that series, but
yeah,
I think they did it well, and I hope Chibnall can do stuff like that. I don't expect him to be Moffat. I expect it to be more like RJD, and I'm fine with that. I just want to see good stories.
We should probably continue, because I think we've been going on for about an hour.
You make that sound like that's a bad thing.
It's a great thing, but I'm worried about your you know, rendering situation.
It's fine.
It's okay. Okay, off you go. Are we gonna move on to the next topic?
Okay, so we've been talking a bit about Series 10. I think it's fine to start speculating. We're gonna have a new companion. You mentioned it with the stupid coloring of the hair, but we're actually gonna talk a bit about it now.
Yay!
How is that gonna impact Series 11 when we actually have Chibnall? I mean, will it be?
In my opinion, and I'm saying this boldly. For Chibnall to be the best writer he can be, he needs to have a clean slate.
So you think it'll be
one
series only, and that's it? You think it's going to be like the Donna?
I think it should be that. I don't think it will. I don't think it will, but I think it should be. Because I feel like if Chris has Moffat's, you know, a part of Moffat with him, it's good because it's Moffat, but it won't let Chibnall show off what he can do with his characters. And I feel like, same goes with the Doctor, but I won't talk about that for a while. I think... With a companion, I don't want them to... If the companion's good, obviously I want to see her for more than a season. But for Chibnall to get the best he can be, I feel like the companion should only be for one season. What do you think about it?
I think it'll carry over. I think there needs to be some sort of continuity, and we're going to talk about the continuity thing a bit later for the final bit. But, yeah, I think they're gonna have to keep a companion. They need some sort of bridge.
They are going to, but I just
bridge
wish
between
that.
The two series. Yeah. And I think I expect there to be some sort of collaboration between Moffat and Chibnall. I don't think Moffat's gonna do it on his own, because I think Chibnall wants some sort of input as to how they want to take the companion.
Yeah.
I think, much like I reckon what Moffat and RTD did somewhat. I think. Moffat and Chibnall will collaborate, not really collaborate, but I mean, like, you know what I mean? They're gonna have some sort of input in regards to what that should look like. Well, not really what they should look like, but where do they want to take the story? So I expect it to carry over.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I totally think they will. I'm worried about Chibnall's way of, you know, being able to show his writing style by having somebody that Moffat's cooked up, you know. But I think it could work out. I'm just a bit worried, that's all.
Sticking with the collaboration theme. So, we know that Moffat is ending in 2017. We mentioned it a couple times in this episode. And we know that the Chibnall's first season will begin in 2018. So, I suppose the question is, who is going to write the Christmas special that's going to bridge those two series together? Will it be Moffat? Will it be Chibnall? Or could it be a co-write?
Okay, I'm fine with a co-write. If not, Chibnall. Because if there's one thing that would make me satisfied or unsatisfied with Chibnall's style is if we had a little sneak peek, you know, of how his writing is. And I feel like having a co-write would be a really, I'm going to say this in the most manly way possible, beautiful way of signing him off. And I think it'd be a nice thing to do. But what I think, I actually have no idea. I think it could be Moffat will, but I'm open to the possibility of Chibnall or the co-writer, but I actually have no clue.
I'm intrigued to know, because I'm obviously suspecting Chibnall will have some sort of contribution in Series 10. I mean, if he doesn't, that'd be surprising. I reckon...
Because that's the carry-on somehow.
Some of the episodes in Series 10 will tie into the era, as well as the Christmas special. So I think he's going to possibly tease some possible plot lines that will come into play in Series 11. I think...
Yep.
Yeah, I just want to see what Chibnall does. I think, because it's been 3 seasons. He last wrote in Series 7. He hasn't written since. Like, come on. What's the super mentality behind that?
Show us you can do something good for the show, please.
I mean, his last episode was The Power of 3, which probably wasn't his best episode. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't his best. But
I mean, it made me happy, but it didn't make me proud.
I mean, there was potential there, but I mean, like, I want to... What was that?
Nothing. Continue.
Yeah, sure, there was nothing. Yeah, of course.
You know what it is. If you don't, I disown you.
No, I know what it was. I'm looking at mine right now. But,
That shows a lot.
We're talking about sonic screwdrivers, just in case you really couldn't understand what we were talking about. Just wanted to put that out there. And now we're going to move on. Yeah, I reckon it'd be a co-write as well.
I think the co-write would be the best way, because Chibnall needs that input, and Moffat needs a send-off in a way. I mean, to be fair though, if we're talking about Christmas specials, the Husband of River, I think it was called the Husband of River Song, was it?
Christmas special, yes.
That was the name of it? That was... What did you think of that one? Just a quick... did you like that Christmas season?
I liked how it came full circle. That was what I liked about it.
That is... I was like...
I'm not going to say why it comes full circle. All I'm just saying
is that
it comes full circle. And I think it was well done.
And that felt
It was a nice end.
Moffat thought he would leave then, didn't he? That's why he closed it off.
I'm perfectly don't mind if they don't touch it ever again. Just leave her alone. Please don't. Leave her alone.
You ended it amazingly. Please don't touch it ever again.
Leave her alone. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But,
okay. No, it's okay.
I expect it to be a co-write. I don't see it being any other way. I mean, Moffat could end on the end of his season, but I feel like Moffat does such a good job with Christmas specials. Much better than Archie D did, in all honesty.
Definitely.
I think he'll want to go on a high with a really great Christmas special, and I think Chibnall will want to make a really good entrance into his, so it makes sense.
I think it's, in my opinion, it's either co-write or Chibnall, because Chibnall needs that input.
So Chibnall just needs to make a bloody good episode and make prove all the doubters wrong. That's what he needs, alright?
Show us that you're good! Because, honestly, I need to learn from Moffat. Like, I want to know all of his secrets, because he's something.
I've read some of his scripts, because he actually...
I met him.
You have?
Sort of.
Really?
He and Gaddis and Sue Virtue came to Melbourne,
Oh my god, yes, I remember that, Sherlock, yes.
But they did mention Doctor Who, several times.
The Meet the Filmmakers?
Yeah, it was sort of like a...
Yeah, I remember that.
It was funny, because... I forgot who was hosting it, but it was a comedian, so it was good.
Oh, it was probably about season was four, it Adam Spencer? Because I know he's a really big Doctor Who fan.
Let me check. Hold on.
Anyway, while you're thinking about that, but I mean yeah, I think Moffat. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see there being any other thing else than a co-write.
I think it was Will Anderson. Really? Actually.
Well, I know they're both Doctor Who fans, but it makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah, that's
like, ABC.
We got that wasn't useful in terms of how he like writes Doctor Who, but obviously. He did mention his legacy of Doctor Who. But that was a really good thing to watch, I think.
Well, I think...
It tells a lot about how he approaches things.
Moffat's legacy, I'm just briefly mentioning it. I reckon it could be summed up in four words. Matt Smith.
Okay.
Peter Capaldi. There you go. That's his legacy summed up in four words. Why he's so good.
Capaldi's amazing. I mean...
Smith is my doctor, but Capaldi is just leagues ahead. But I still have a soft spot for Smith.
That's the thing. I don't know who my doctor is. I always hop between Tennant and Smith, but I really think Tennant might be my doctor. And it's just because when I see... like he's a leave away for me. When I heard him and Catherine Tate on the audiobook, I generally felt joy. Hearing his voice again as a doctor, I think that's what made me sort of jump to that conclusion that he might be my doctor. But, you know, going on to one more thing, Capaldi, oh my god. Like, Moffat did really, really well with him. Especially in Heaven Sent. I'm not going to say why, but you have to admit, that was amazing.
Oh, I'm going to point this out right now. And I'm just saying this now on record, so I actually have to keep my promise to this. I'm going to review every single Doctor Who episode, like from the new series. I'm going to do it. And I have to... How? When I...
Like, no, like... Is it going to be like a written thing? Is it going to be like
No, it's actually going to be videos. I'm actually sticking to this. And now this... Now...
Oh, okay. Well, now it's recorded and you can't cut it out.
Well, I can if I want to, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stick to my word. And it gives me...
I presume we'll also...
Gives me...
Cover the season as a whole in a future podcast, maybe.
Maybe. I don't see why not.
Or like... Yeah. Or season 10, hopefully. Because that'll be a huge... thing to cover.
Well, we've got an entire year, alright? We've got an entire year to worry about this.
Yeah.
But,
And class, ugh.
You just said you were... you were excited about that.
Yeah!
To go, ugh.
But it's like... It's an alternative to not having all this Doctor Who. It's like, why don't you give us class and Doctor Who at the same time?
Budget.
Spoiler us. Anyway. Yeah, I know. Should we mention the unmentionable?
Yeah, I think we have to end on this. So,
it was bound to come eventually. What's going to happen to the man himself?
Will Capaldi stay for Series 11?
He shouldn't. He really shouldn't.
You think he should do the David Tennant thing?
We know he's been asked back for a fourth series, right?
Yes, he hasn't made his mind up yet.
Think about this. Both Smith and Tennant did roughly the same. There was three full seasons over 4 years because of the gap, right?
So that doesn't mean Capaldi has to do logically the same. Speaking, that doesn't mean Capaldi has to.
No, it doesn't. But logically speaking, it would put him on the same contract. But as I said before, this would allow Chris Chibnall a blank slate to create characters of his own.
But the problem with the blank slate is that it's going to be series 4, series 5 transition all over again. I don't want that to happen. Fans to be alienated. I wanted there to be some sort of consistency. That's why I expected the...
Won't that be the companion?
I expect that to be the companion, but...
So it's either the companion who stays or Capaldi who stays.
Or it could be both.
Or both, which... I mean, the way Capaldi's been... how do I say this? He's been criticising the BBC recently.
Yeah, but I feel like his criticisms are justified in all honesty, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but that criticism... Does that reflect on his future with the show? And
I don't think it does.
I feel like season 10 is going to be epic. And I feel like if it is epic, which I know will be epic and I hope it will be epic. I'm saying epic a lot. Doing a Tennant and Smith might do Capaldi justice. But then again, he is such a great doctor. And him carrying on would do good. But as I said before, blank slate.
I reckon he'll transition. I think... Capaldi is too much of a Doctor Who fan to not want to continue playing for as long as possible.
Oh, that's my
argument. I think Capaldi's been there since the beginning.
How hard would it be if... Okay, so I've written a story.
You wrote a story, yeah.
Right? I wrote a book, okay? It's called Nick and Ringo, the book, yes. Right? And I give you this book, and because Nick and Ringo are still in it, you're going to write them how people liked them last time. And you can't... You can, but you probably won't be... People won't like you if you alter with that.
But there's...
And if we do get the companion and Capaldi, what creativity will Chibnall have? He'll be, like, closed off in this box until Capaldi and the companion are off doing something else.
Well, I think you can add a different layer, like, as I was saying to you. Series 8, Clara and the Doctor, is much different to Series 9, Clara and the Doctor.
Oh, and that's definitely.
My thing. And that's my massive thing. Improvement. That is not a bad thing. I think...
Oh, no.
Series 10 can set up the companion dynamic to... Doctor companion dynamic one way, and then series 11 can take it a different direction. It doesn't have to be.
That's
different.
True.
Well, it has to be. It can be different.
But I'm hoping that'll be good because season 8 and 9 is Moffat. Season 10 and 11 is different. So the companion relationship being altered, that was the same writer, and I feel like will that make a difference with this one? I'm not sure, and I feel like. I think one of them shouldn't carry over. That's what I think. I'm happy with at least one of them carrying over.
In all honesty,
but I feel like if both carries over,
you've had the alternative. Of course, I'd rather Capaldi over the companion, which we don't know yet. But I mean, like,
yeah, Capaldi has shown his talent this season. But I understand what you're trying to say, and I understand.
I obviously want that.
I'm torn because I know that I want Capaldi and this companion that I'm going to fall in love with, both. Literally, and you know what I mean. But I'm going to want them to be in season 11. I know I will. But then again, I also want Chimble to have a blank slate. So it's going to be like me versus me in my arguments.
Chimble?
And I don't know what to do about
it. Did you say
Chibnall? This is why I let you explain it, because I'm bad with names. Chibnall. Chimble. Chimble.
Well done. I'm going to give you a clap.
Chimble. Thank you. Yeah, actually clapping. Okay. Yes. So yeah, Chibnall, I think he should have a clean slate. I also think that I would love them to carry over, so I don't know. I don't have a conclusion. Do you have a conclusion?
I want Doctor Who.
Give us more Doctor Who.
I think that's a great way to leave the episode, don't you agree?
Yes, it's been an hour and 17 minutes, roughly. Holy shite. Okay.
This is so much fun.
I say we do this again.
I want to do this again.
Because this is amazing.
This is...
Maybe we can cover... Class and the Christmas special in a podcast.
Oh, that'd be good. And any other information like the companion.
That'd be great.
I reckon they'll do the companion so we can talk about the companion, class, and the Christmas special. so see you all in December.
That'll be 2 hours. No, but yeah, so it's not every couple months.
We will do periodically. You know, we don't know when we're going to do the next one.
I'd say once or twice a year would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe even doing a. I was thinking a podcast per season. 10 2017 episode, maybe.
Ooh.
That'd be hard, or maybe because if we were to cover the whole season, that'd take freaking years, man. Because we want to talk about all 14 episodes, but we'll see what happens. I think this is gonna be good. I think this will do well. I've never done a podcast before.
I don't even know what we do for the titles. I mean, people at home or people watching this will know because they've actually seen the final product. But I don't know. You don't know.
You don't know. I don't know.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna figure
this
out.
I know that this podcast is bigger on the inside. Yep. If you know what
just
I mean.
Just like myself.
Insert Quagmire GIF here. Okay. So we should have wrapped it up. But I think having the future of the podcast talked about slightly is a thing that we would have done.
Well,
anyway,
how podcast. About we leave it to anyway. People that respond to this, and we'll see what other people think about it.
Let's actually
and
yeah.
Actually, I have an idea. How about we get people that choose to listen to this podcast to ask us questions about the show or about
I
us.
Have several school friends who love Doctor Who, so I'm going to probably get them to listen to this.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I reckon there's many places we can take this. It's episode number one, so...
Yeah. Anyway, we should wrap it up, and then we'll talk about more about the future privately. But
yes, we will.
Thank you for listening, everybody. This has been great. Yes. We didn't even talk about a single goddamn episode thoroughly. We just talked about all the theories and stuff, but it's been good.
Watch the episodes yourself. That's what. Episodes without us, without our opinions. Just go watch Doctor Who.
Yes, just watch Doctor Who.
One to nine.
And then you can argue with us, even though we can't hear you. Wait, one more question before we end. Why the hell is Doctor Who on Aussie Netflix still, but they took it off American Netflix?
Because we're better than Americans.
I have
Americans.
No idea why they did
okay,
that.
Okay, that's why.
Damn right! Amen!
That's there you go. Alright.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, yes. And goodbye.
See you guys. Till the next time. So, I'll lead us in 3, 2, 1, and then I'll say my intro-y bit, and then you chime in.
We record now, right? Okay, good, because yeah. It's recording. And so is Audacity, and this is all a waste of time. Okay, when you're ready.
That's fine. Dude, this could be like a thing at the end.
Wait,
if people bother.
Does
to
the thing hear
to.
The boop sound when I talk, or would it hear that?
Not that
okay,
all.
Good.
No.
Then whenever you're ready.
I probably will on the bay when you send it to me,
okay.
But not now.
When you're ready.
Alright. Alright, 3, 2, 1.